We'll get started. Good morning, everyone. My name is Brittany Blevins, and today I'm going to be teaching on sharing your faith effectively in everyday conversations. So when you think about sharing your faith, what comes to mind? Is it a bold conversation? Is it a well-known and well-timed Bible verse? Is it an eloquently spoken sermon? Or maybe you associate it with panic, nervousness, and anxiety. Either way, if I'm being honest, I've thought all of the above. When I've thought about sharing my faith, I've felt every emotion in the books about it. Sometimes I feel like I'm like, oh, I've got this. And then sometimes I get extremely nervous and I'm like, God can use anyone but me to share my faith. But the truth is, sharing your faith effectively is not about having all the right words, but it's about how we live, how we speak, and how we treat others in everyday, seemingly mundane moments. The world listens more to how we act, treat each other, and love than the words that we say. And as soon as I started praying about this lesson, I really felt like God laid on my heart immediately Galatians 5:22 through 26. And there was such a clear and distinct message laid on my heart that the foundation of Spirit-filled living is the fruit of the Spirit. If we always strive to live with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, the rest will flow and follow very easily. Galatians 5:22 through 26, New Living Translation, and I have it up there on the screen as well. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Very familiar scripture, but an important one that we can apply to our lives every single day. Whether you're 18 or whether you're 60, the people around you, your coworkers, your family, your neighbors, even strangers, they pay more attention to your actions than your words. And they will see your fruit of the Spirit long before they see you worshiping in church, long before any sermon that you can preach to them will ever reach them. When we live with the fruit of the Spirit, when we live with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we open the door for meaningful Spirit-led connections, even when we're not trying to. Think about your last email or phone call. Did your tone communicate Christ? What about the tough interaction with that person that just always gets under your skin? That person that always just kind of seems to rub the wrong way with you. What was your last interaction with them? Did it reflect Christ? Is your frustration, are you reflecting Christ in your frustration, in your happy moments, in the hard times in life, in the good times in life? What are you reflecting? When we live on these everyday moments, when we focus on these everyday moments, when we make sure that we're communicating the fruit of the Spirit, then these everyday moments are where faith becomes real. That's where faith becomes real, not just for us, but also the people that we engage with. Proverbs 18:21, and I have the New King James Version here. It says, "Life and death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Sharing your faith effectively isn't about preaching. It's about your presence. And I'll say that again. Sharing your faith effectively is not about preaching. It's about your presence. It's about letting the Holy Spirit work through your tone, your kindness, your tolerance, and your words. Even small conversations can carry an internal impact when they're marked by the fruit of the Spirit. So I have three key points today to help you apply this to your life that we are going to discuss. And each of these points have real life examples of things that I've either seen myself or heard of, stories, things that we can relate to that have had an impact on me personally that hopefully will also have an impact on you. So my first key point today for sharing your faith effectively is let your life be your sermon. Your life is a letter that everyone will read. Is it going to tell them of Jesus? And that's something that's hard because we're living in an everyday life, so it can be more challenging than it seems. It seems like a very simple concept that we can just live life and it's going to tell of Jesus. But what does it really speak? People notice how you live long before they listen to what you say. You can tell them about Jesus all day long, but if you're not reflecting Jesus in your actions, your words mean nothing. Your words will fall short every single time. Your kindness, patience, and honesty can leave a deeper impression than any debate and any argument. Especially, you know, we see these people, we see these this time and time again, especially around politics and religion, you know, things like that. Sometimes we can get so defensive over our beliefs that we forget that Jesus can do the work on the heart. Jesus can do the work on the mind. What we need to do is show them love, show them kindness, show them passion and empathy. If we put ourselves in their shoes, if we put ourselves in the place of those people, if we try to speak to them with kindness and respect, even if we disagree, especially if we disagree, that's where Jesus will shine more than anything. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. An example that I have of this, I once heard a story of a man named Mr. Charles. He was a janitor at a high school, not sure where, but he made it a point to greet each student every day he came across by name. He went out of his way to learn their names, and every student that he would come across during the day while he was doing his routine things, he would call them out by name. He kept extra snacks for kids who were hungry, and he prayed quietly over the halls as he was cleaning before anyone else would come in. And years later, Mr. Charles passed away, and dozens of former students that had come across his path, they came to his funeral, and the most common thing among what they were all saying was that he made me feel seen. I could feel that he cared. And over and over and over again, students would come up and speak of what a big impact that he made in their lives. He made a lasting impact, although he never preached a word. He never gave a Bible study. He never read them a single scripture. He was a witness just by being present and showing them love, showing them that they cared, that they had someone that cared about them. If we have all the faith and love in the world, if we have all of this joy and we have the Holy Ghost that gives us this peace that passes understanding, if we have everything that we need, but we keep it to ourselves and we never show this love and we never show people that we care, then what good does it do? James 2, 14 through 17, New Living Translation says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it in your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good did you do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and it is useless. And I chose that translation very specifically because it's so powerful and impactful to think about. If we have all of the tools, we have all of the love, we see someone in need and we're like, man, I really hope someone helps you out. I feel for you, but I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to reach. I'm not going to do anything. Then are we really showing the love of Jesus? Are we really showing that? Especially if you go through the Bible and you read stories of Jesus, he always stopped what he was doing to help the needy. Even when he was tired, even when he was overwhelmed, even when he had had enough, people were asking for healing and he would go and he would heal them. Yes, he would find places to rest. Yes, he would make sure that he was replenished and he was in the right mindset, but he also made sure that he helped others in everything that he did. If you pray and strive to live aware of God's presence everywhere, at work, in the store, in every conversation, then you'll rarely ever miss a witnessing opportunity. Do you want to share your faith in everyday conversations? Then I challenge you, show your values and faith in everything that you do. In how you write emails, in how you make phone calls, how you speak to others, how you look at others, that's important. It is. Smile. There is nothing worse than coming across someone and you're like, ooh, a fellow apostolic. And they're like, nope, don't want to look at you. Don't want to talk to you. We don't want that. We want to show the love of Jesus in everything that we do every single day. So how you look at others and even how you handle frustration, let your everyday behavior reflect Jesus. And because we're all human, we all fall short of the glory of God. That leads me to my next point, which is use your failures as a witness. Inevitably, we all have bad days. We will all treat someone in a way that we regret. We'll all have that those moments where we come back and we're like, man, why did I do that? Why did I act like that? Why did I show my anger like that? Why did I do this? We all have those days. It's going to happen. And we're going to have things that we regret. We're going to have opportunities that we miss. We're going to have times that we don't show grace when we're mistreated, even though we should. And we'll make those mistakes. But the important thing is what we do when we do experience those downfalls. We must use those as an opportunity to witness. We must be honest, apologize about it, and let Jesus be shown in our flaws. There's nothing, well, there might be some things worse, but it's pretty bad when you harm someone, when you do a wrong and you're not willing to admit it and to say sorry and to come up to someone and say, hey, I messed up. I'm human. I should have handled that in a different way. And I apologize. It's not fun. It's not fun, but it's needed. It's necessary because that can make more of an impact when you wrong someone and you don't apologize. If you go about it the wrong way, it can leave an eternal impact on that person. But if you wrong someone and you say, hey, I'm so sorry, I'm human, I messed up, then a lot of times it can turn around and you can meet common ground just by admitting you're wrong. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There is a very recent example of this with two Christian artists, and I don't know if you all know who these Christian artists are, but Corey Asbury and Forrest Frank. To make a very long story short, and hopefully if y'all have seen this, it's a real-time thing. As I was studying for this lesson, all this was taking place, and I was like, oh, how is this going to turn out? So real life example here, Forrest Frank, just to kind of give a background for those who don't know, he broke his back in an accident, and he said he felt like God told him to continue reaching through others through his music, but on social media. He couldn't walk, he broke his back, he was bedridden, and he used this opportunity and this time of pain to bring glory to God and to lift up others, saying, hey, if you've gone through this, like, you know, I can make it, you can make it, we're all in this together. And Corey Asbury, which is another Christian artist, he posted a very crude video making fun of Forrest Frank in his time of struggle. It was not only crude, but it was pretty rude. He called him out very blatantly. He very blatantly called him out, said, hey, Forrest, you know, and it was not great. And the first time that I happened to see the video of Corey Asbury kind of making fun of him was Forrest Frank's reaction video. So Forrest Frank watched this video and then he reacted in real time to what was being said about him. And you could see the emotion in his eyes. You could see him trying to process as he's being made fun of blatantly by another Christian artist. You could see him kind of like processing, like, okay, how do I handle this? What do I do? And you could see that he was hurting because this very traumatic experience was literally being made fun of by another Christian artist. And he could have reacted in many ways. There's a lot of things that he could have said, a lot of things he could have done. But the way he responded was by saying something along the lines of, I'm hurt, but I know that kids that listen to my music, they have bullies too. So he ended up writing a chorus right on the spot. And with tears almost filling his eyes, he began to sing, it's okay if you feel misunderstood. There's a man who did as well when they nailed him to wood. And even through all the pain, he still forgave them, so I can forgive somebody too. So immediately his response was a response of forgiveness, a response of, I'm going to lift other people up. I'm going to let them know they're not alone in this situation. So that could have stopped there, but I'm thankful it didn't, because through that, because of that response, Corey Asbury responded back with the following. He posted a video and he said, I got a pretty sobering reality check today. Forrest, you're right. There's really no seatbelt on social media. I hopped on a trend without thinking, and I'm genuinely sorry for that. But I'm also hopeful because I know God does not waste moments like these. He can take even our missteps and use them to redirect us, teaching us how to walk in grace and move forward with more wisdom and love. And then they proceeded to write this song together about the first chorus that Forrest wrote just there on the spot through his hurt, through his pain. And they actually just released it, I think, this week. So they have this brand new song called Misunderstood, and it's all about this back and forth communication and how we respond to things and how someone may be going through something that we never know. And through this bad situation, now I've seen videos of kids that are coming forth and they're saying, hey, I get bullied at school a lot. but I saw how you handled being bullied, and I saw how Corey responded to that. So I'm going to forgive them too, because you reminded me of what Jesus really is all about. And so, what could have been a very bad situation, what could have been something that turned so many people, thousands, millions of people away because they have so many followers, what could have been a very, very bad situation ended up being such a good, uplifting situation because of how they reacted, because of how they responded. It's okay to be human. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to fall, as long as we turn in repentance and allow God's grace to witness and lean on the Holy Spirit for guidance. We must use those moments of pure humanity as opportunities to connect faith to daily struggles. If you're going through stress, family struggles, loss, decisions, mistakes, you can correct those and you can connect your mistakes with faith through simple truths and apologies. 1 Timothy 1:16, New International Version says, "For that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus may display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." One of the best ways to witness is by being real with people and letting them know that they are not alone in the struggle. Although it's humbling and sometimes embarrassing, temporary embarrassment is nothing compared to the eternal responsibility of a soul. Temporary embarrassment is nothing compared to the eternal responsibility of a soul. And I choose to be embarrassed every single day of my life if it means helping someone else make it to heaven. Which ties into my last point, to be spirit-led and not scripted. You don't need to force a conversation to share your faith, but you need to pray for divine appointments so that God can use you in ways that you'd never expect to make a difference in someone else's life. Sensitivity to the Spirit will always open doors that you never expected. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, you will go through doors and you will walk through doors, and God will open doors that you never thought possible. But you don't need to force it. You need to pray about it. Pray for that opportunity. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2 and 4. "Therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called for one glorious hope for the future." And I have a personal example of this, and I'm going to not get emotional. We're going to be fine. But a personal example of being spirit-led and not being scripted was my grandma. She was shy and extremely, extremely introverted. But I would watch her as she would be out shopping. We would go do normal, everyday, ordinary things. And I would watch her as we're at the grocery store, as we're, you know, at Walmart or Big Lots or wherever we would be. And I would see her, this very shy, very introverted woman that never liked putting her place in, you know, herself out there. She didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to make a scene. But I would watch her as she would see someone else with a hurting child, or if they were sick, if they were going through something. I could see her spirit kind of lean toward those people. And I would watch her as she would go up to somebody with a baby that was crying, or, you know, everyone's frustrated with them because this baby's crying. And my grandma would come up to them and she would start sharing how, you know, she has so many grandkids and she understands and she gets it, but, you know, they're okay and they're doing great as parents, or, you know, they're sick, their child was sick, and she would give them stories of miraculous healings that have taken place in my life. And I was there right there with her, and she'd say, "But look at her now. She's amazing." And so, you know, I would watch my grandma she would step out of her comfort zone on a daily basis. She would step out and she would reach out and she would pray for opportunities for God to lead her in simple, ordinary, seemingly mundane moments, just so she could reach others, just so she could reach the lost. And she led a life of intercessory prayer, not just on Sundays. She would do that on Sundays. She would kind of remove herself from the service. She'd go back in the prayer room and she would pray for the preacher. Instead of being fed herself every Sunday, she would go back and she would pray for anointing, power, passion, and a deliverance of the word of God so people could understand it and people could hear it. But she would also live that life every other day. I was with her all the time, and I would hear her praying and asking God to guide her every footstep. She would pray. She would read her Bible. She would intercede, sometimes for people she knew, and sometimes she had no idea. Sometimes she'd pull me aside and she'd say, "Hey, Brittany, I don't know who we're praying for, but I really feel like God's leading us to pray. Can you help me pray? And we would just pray. We didn't know what we were praying for. We didn't know who we were praying for, but we knew that God was going to intercede on their behalf by us standing in. And I would watch God lead her to write letters. She would make a phone call, or she would buy a family or a person items anonymously. She didn't know why, but maybe she needed to drop off groceries for someone. Maybe she needed to buy a new toy for a kid at church. She didn't know the reason that she was doing what she was doing, but she went out of her way to make sure that she followed after God's still small voice, even if it was never recognized or known by others. And because she had never had a ministry that was in front of people that was seen, when I went to visit her right before she passed away in some of her last days, she told me how she'd hoped that she had done enough to show the love of God to people because she was never in front of people. And so she said, "I hope that I've done enough, Brittany. I hope that I've done enough to reach the world and to reach the lost." And at her funeral, it was standing room only. She didn't think that a lot of people would show up because she didn't think that a lot of people knew her. She didn't think that she had made a difference, but that funeral was standing room only. Over 500 people showed up during COVID, mind you, and there were also live streams and it COVID. God worked a miracle where COVID bans have been lifted right at that time. So I was able to fly back and be at her funeral, and it was just all of it was a miracle in itself, but really just seeing the impact that this shy, introverted person that thought that she did nothing, and person after person was coming up and saying, and there were construction workers that worked with my grandpa that she didn't even know that they knew her name. And they were like, "She prayed for me once, and I knew it, and I felt it. And that changed my family, that changed my life." And we had person after person come up and tell us just how much of an impact she made. And even if she hadn't made an impact to all those other people, she changed my life simply by living the truth day in and day out. Every single day, she showed the love of Jesus in everything that she did. She was spirit-led and she was never scripted. When I was going through things, she had that sensitivity, the spirit to come up to me and say, "Hey, Britt, I know you can't talk to me about it right now." I had a pretty abusive situation happening in our family, and my grandma knew that I couldn't really talk about it. I couldn't say much. And I won't go into details about all of that, but my grandma didn't know what was going on. She didn't know that there was abuse in our household. She didn't know what was happening, but yet she had that sensitivity, the spirit. And I remember she pulled me aside, and this is not in my notes, but she pulled me aside one day and she said, "Brittany, I know you can't talk to me right now, and I can sense that there's something pulling you away, but I just want to let you know that God hasn't given up on you. I just want to let you know that I haven't given up on you, and whatever you're going through, God's going to use it for a purpose. He's going to use it for something greater." And that moment in my life, that's exactly what I needed. She was first generation Pentecostal. Her parents weren't in this. Her family wasn't in this yet. God filled her with a love and anointing and a passion beyond what some people that have been in this for generations and generations have. And so it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in this. It doesn't matter your family situations. It doesn't matter your home life. You can be used of God every single day if you have the fruits of the Spirit in your life. When we let the Holy Spirit guide us, He turns our ordinary conversations and actions into eternal opportunities. And I'll say that one more time. When we let the Holy Spirit guide us, He turns our ordinary conversations and actions into eternal opportunities. Luke 12, 12 says, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Rely on the Holy Ghost. Rely on that Spirit. Have that conversation with God and have that sensitivity to know that God's going to leave you even when you're out of your element, even when it's out of your realm, even when it's out of your comfort zone, even when you're introverted and you don't want to talk to anybody, but yet God's pushing you to talk to somebody, talk to them. The Holy Ghost is going to teach you what you need to say. You never know who you're speaking to just by living your life. Your life may be the only Bible that some people read. So begin your day by asking God to guide your words and give you listening ears and a welcoming heart so that He can use you even when you don't realize who you're making a difference for. Your life is a testimony that no one else can give, that makes Jesus real and relatable for other people. If you're willing to be honest, if you're willing to put yourself out there in times that you feel like you're being led, God will use it. Sharing your faith effectively is not about memorizing the perfect script or writing the right or waiting for the right moment. It's about living every day as a reflection of Christ. Your tone, your kindness, your patience, and even your response to failure all preach louder than words ever could. And when the fruit of the Spirit flow from your life, you're planting seeds that God will water in His timing. Someone's life may be forever changed, not by a sermon that you preach, but by the way that you love, forgive, react, and live. And that is all that I've got today. I don't know how fast I went. I went really fast. I'm sorry. that's all I have today. But I did want to take some time for questions and discussions. I wanted to make sure that there was plenty of time left for that, because I know some of the most impactful things really aren't what I say up here, but it's the conversations that happen out there. So I do have questions that I can present to you all. There's some questions on the bottom of your handout. I also can present some questions to you. I have some extras if needed as well. But before we jump into those questions, does anybody have any comments or discussion or anything that they'd like to say before we jump into any of those?
I wish I could have got to meet your grandmother.
She was amazing. She really was. Anybody have anything that like? If not, I'll jump in with a question that's not on your page. Make your brains turn a little bit. Does anyone have an example of a time that someone impacted your walk with God, good or bad, that was in an everyday, seemingly mundane moment or situation?
I do. I was working at a Kmart before I went to school, and I was working the service desk one particular Christmas, or just after Christmas. And I had a lady that stopped in the line. I was in the return thing, and the line was pretty long, but she stopped in to return some items. And I was just going about my everyday business and whatever, and she stepped up to the counter, and I asked her the usual question, is there anything wrong with it in your return or whatever? And she said no. She said, they're Christmas gifts for my husband, but he's left me and abandoned her there, whatever. So, of course, you know, she got a little tearful. But all I could say was I was sorry. And then I checked her out and, you know, returned her money. And as I laid it in her hands, I just gave her hand a little squeeze and said, I'll pray for you. I was off for the next couple of days, and then when I came back, and she had come back through and left a gift for me at the service desk with a card, just thanking me for noticing, and just giving her that little nudge, and it made a world of difference in my life, too.
Absolutely. That's amazing. And it's crazy how something so small, you know, you wouldn't think, and that probably impacted her walk with God for the rest of her life. She probably looked back on that moment and was like, when I felt like I had nothing, this one person cared enough just to say, hey, I love you. I'm going to be praying for you. Simple things like that make such a big difference. And those are the moments that you're going to share your faith more than any other moment. Is there anyone else that has any examples?
Well, I had a wonderful mother, and she was a big part of Christian Life Center, and that's the most packed house I've ever seen for a funeral, when she had a funeral. Anyway, a couple of weeks before she died, I was getting some blood pressure meds in River City, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, get that little card for your mother and give it to her at church. I said, okay, God. I bought that little card. It was just some old, ranky little card, just letting Mom know how much I loved her. She gave me the biggest hug ever. It was the longest hug. I was trying to pull away from her. Make a long story short, when they gave me that card back after my mom passed away, on the back of the card, what I didn't realize, when I gave the card to her, it was really buying it for myself, because the three scriptures on the back of it was perfect from the Bible, what I needed to hear. Give me peace. And sometimes when you do something for somebody, bless yourself too. Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think kind of, I mean, like both of you are saying, when we share, when we give, when we're doing these things, when we're letting God lead us and guide us, even when we don't really know or understand, usually we end up blessed 10 times over without even, you know, trying. Obviously, we're not doing things to bless ourselves, but it ends up coming back. Anybody else?
So my sister was actually probably the person who had the most influence in my life as she was a Christian before I came to the Lord. But even after the fact, you know, I would tell her about, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and stuff, and she believed in it, but she never really went out to pray with faith, you know, even though she was a very faithful woman.
Yeah.
And one day she was at Walmart. And there's the checkout lady. She was had a broken arm, and God put in my sister, just prayed for her, and she's very introverted too, and so she prays for her, and it's like, okay, goodbye. Well, almost a year later, she's at Walmart, and that lady sees her, and says, hey, are you the one that prayed for me? She's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you prayed for my arm. It healed. The next day, it was totally better.
That's amazing.
And my sister was
Jesus.
Like, no way. You know?
Yeah.
she wasn't really expecting it. So, you know, just a simple praying for someone, even when you're, like, struggling with your faith in that,
yeah.
just taking that step, really, really beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so cool, especially when it's, like, you don't feel like you can do it. I'm half introverted, half extroverted. My Myers-Briggs test, I'm like 49% extroverted, 49% introverted, 51% extroverted. So I'm like right there on the line. And I'm not going to lie, going and like praying for random people stresses me out. But I will do it. I will get out of that comfort zone. But it's amazing what the impact you can make. And it's because it's not you. It's never me that's reaching out and praying. You know, I'm not the one that can heal. I'm not the one that can restore, but God can do that. In every single one of us. That's amazing. Anybody else have any stories or impacts? I feel like this is why I wanted to leave a lot of time for this portion, because this is everyday scenarios, everyday things that truly prove that sharing your faith effectively isn't about what you can do as, you know, how fancy can I be? How eloquent can I be? How much scripture can I memorize? Memorizing scripture is good. It's good. I'm not discouraging that, but it just shows that simple acts of kindness, simple acts where you're showing the fruit of the Spirit, make such a big difference and impact in everyone around us. If nobody else has examples, we have some more questions. Or if there's any other discussion, just let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to keep talking. Yes.
I have another example.
Yes, go for it.
I was in Colorado, and a lot of what these people believe, I have very strong disagreement on. But I remember I was with my friends who, at the time, was going to the local church that I was attending, and we were visiting a hospital, waiting for a friend to come out, got bit by a dog, so she was getting, like, rabies shots and stuff, and I remember I saw two nuns walking into the hospital, and I'd never seen a nun before, and I'm like, whoa, you guys, look, it's nuns, and, you know, we're all not Catholic, and so some of them, they're a little bit more worldly, they actually start making fun of the nuns, just within a group, and I started thinking, these two women, we disagree with them a lot. They need a doctrinal fix, maybe. But they're going and doing something that Jesus told us to do. They're actually coming over here to visit someone. And when I saw that, in that scenario, it woke me up to realize, you know, it doesn't matter how much our doctrine is right if we aren't doing those loving acts. Because when I saw that, I saw, whoa, this is showing the love of Christ. They look a lot different than us. They believe a lot different than us. But they're actually showing that love to someone, going out of their way. And I remember seeing that in contrast with people making fun of them, that I was part of their group. And it really woke me up to, you know, our actions do mean a lot.
They do.
It means a lot.
Absolutely.
And that had me thinking ever since that point. And so I thought that was a cool experience.
Absolutely.
You know, we our lives need to be what represents, you know. I do preaching and stuff, and I'm talking to people all the time, but if your life doesn't represent then what you talk about is not gonna go very deep.
Absolutely. And then sometimes stuff like that almost puts us to shame a little bit as apostolics, because we see these people, you know, and it's easy to be like, oh, they don't have the correct doctrine. And they may not, but look at their faith. Look at them knocking on these doors and going out and witnessing and, or, you know, going to these hospitals. Look at them standing out the way that they do, without shame, without remorse, without any of these things. And how much better should we be doing, because we do have the truth. We do hold the proper doctrine. We know that we're biblically correct, and we hold the truth. We hold the keys in our hand, and yet sometimes we hide it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's phenomenal. Yes.
Several years ago, I worked with a lady that she was such a devout Christian. So wonderful. She was raising six kids. Her spouse was not in church, and she knew before she married him, you know, that he did not have a relationship with her. And she worked like 10 to 7. And she would go home every evening at work and fix a full course supper. And I was like, that is crazy. He would be, I would say, you're going to cook your own supper if you have nothing to eat. But she did that year after year. They were married probably for about 25 years. He got up one morning to go to church with her. After that, he never missed a day. Took her 25 years of silent witnessing, and that made such an impact on me. Was like, I probably would have already been divorced, because I'm not going to cook supper at 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night. But she did it, and she did it with love. She never. I'm like, okay, that was a great, great testimony.
That reminds me of something that Jessica said in our last pathways. When you're praying over those everyday things that you're doing, pray over when you're folding laundry, pray over the laundry. God, protect these babies that are going to be wearing these clothes, or, you know, whatever you're doing when you're cooking dinner. God, let this meal somehow like speak in your life. I don't know how it will, because it's just dinner, but God, you can speak through anything. So yeah, I mean, that's a phenomenal example of just letting your everyday life, your love of Jesus, shine through so it impacts someone else. And that also kind of gives you that faith of perseverance. If you have people in your life that are lost, that you've been witnessing to, and you've been trying and you've been praying over them, and maybe you can't speak to them about God because they get more mad at you, keep praying, keep believing, keep living your life, keep standing firm on the foundation that you know, because they will see it. They will know. They'll feel that witness. They'll feel that love of God through just your everyday ordinary actions. That's a great one. Oh, you got it, Becca. She's like, she was like, oh, no. Okay, that's fine. All right. Anybody else have any other stories, or we could go on with more questions? Yes.
I think one person that comes to mind when thinking about being spirit-led and not scripted is Jessica Dodd.
Yes, she's amazing.
She was really, really good at taking any conversation you were having with her and pointing it to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I strive to be like that. But it was because of her connection with God and everything she had been through in life. You know, she was able to just easily correlate the most crazy thing to something about God. It just went on.
Yeah, I got to witness that multiple times, and it was all, I feel like every conversation I had with her, I was just like, man, my life has changed every time I talk to her. It was, she's amazing, yeah.
Bring her back, Lord.
I know. Lord, bring her back. Does anyone have an example of a time that they let failures or flaws point to Jesus? I know that's kind of an emotional and vulnerable thing, so it's okay, but...
So I'm a prodigal, and I ran from my call to preach for years and years and years, and until I stopped. And now what I find is that God uses me to help prodigals, and uses my failures to tell other people that they haven't messed up too bad, that God God still has a place for them. God still has a ministry for them. God still has a plan in their life. And being able to talk real with them because of my failures and what I did in my life and all the mistakes I made, to be able to talk to them and preach about it. I've preached about it. I feel like has helped me connect better with the person that's walked away from God.
Yeah. And it can be a challenge, but once I know I used to kind of run away from my testimony because I was emotional. It was emotional and I didn't like crying or I didn't like feeling that much. And I didn't want to necessarily have to go revisit those hard times in my life every time that I talked to somebody. But then it got to the point where God kind of just spoke to me one day and he was like, why did you go through all of that if you're not willing to share what I did for you? I brought you out of the situation. And what if someone's going through the same thing? So even though the first couple of times it was a little uncomfortable for me and I got extra emotional, over time, you know, you can say your testimony and you can say those things that you're ashamed of, not with pride, not that you're proud that you did them, but proud that God brought you through them and proud that you can stand up and say, look at who I am today, even though I was not always that person. So that's, if you can do it, challenge you to do it. Anybody else? I have about 5 more minutes. I have a few more questions.
I don't have a direct example of that, but I would also say that you never really truly understand and know how many people are watching you, you know, whether it's on your job or, you know, throughout the community. And maybe it is on your job and there's a failure or a mistake that takes place and you own up to that. I think your response is everything. How you respond to a situation, how you respond to disappointment, you know, and mistakes and failures, whatever it may be. I think that's a big indication of living that life out, letting your life be that sermon. And they're watching us. They're watching how we respond. And if we respond angrily or, you know, upset and make a big deal about it, I think that, in a sense, can ruin our witness. And I think we've got to, you know, live it out and be who we are and, you know, no matter the situation.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we're watched even a little bit more. At least with my family, the vast majority of my family is not in church. And they look at me and it's like every single thing that I do, everything that I say, every action that I take, they're waiting for me to fall and to mess up, because then they can be like, oh, well, look, you're not really that used of God. And that's where it's so important. Let your life live that way. And when you do fall, because y'all, I fell a lot, you know, it's embarrassing, but admit that. And it's so important because it really does shine. And even though they're not in church now, I believe that one day God's going to use even my flaws and failures as those examples to them to say, hey, you know, like, I've seen her mess up, but yet look how great she's doing now. God's still using her. God's still doing these things. So,
faithfulness.
Absolutely. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
So, in, you know, walking as a witness, and I know Jesus tells us to do certain charitable acts as like part of who we are, visiting the widows and orphans in their affliction, people who are suffering or sick or whatnot. Specific to like widows and orphans, what do you think are some practical ways
That's a good question. I would say, and anybody else, feel free to interject at any point. I'd say with prayer, obviously, especially if it's like someone of the opposite gender, I would say just make sure that, you know, you have the same gender company with you. Don't necessarily go alone in those situations. But I think that just giving them examples of peace, and then orphans, you know, you obviously can't adopt like every kid, even though you want to, but just letting them know that they have someone there that loves them, that's praying for them, I feel like that can be the biggest thing, is actually taking the time out to see them. I know one of the biggest things I've had, my grandma, she had friends that, you know, their husbands and things passed away, and she had friends that were widows, and a lot of times she wouldn't do really anything crazy or special. She didn't always have to bring them stuff, but she would just call them and just say, hey, and it was more just getting to talk to somebody. It was more just knowing that somebody was there and somebody cared, you know, orphans, things like that, just knowing that you have somebody, if you have that connection point, you have somebody that you can call when you're going through something, you have somebody there that loves you, that truly is praying for you. If you're actually saying prayers for them, they're going to feel that, they're going to know. And I think that that carries them further than any like physical actions that we could, you know, give them or provide them. At least that's my opinion. Again, anyone else is welcome to speak up for that one.
All right. Well, we are at 10:45, so we're at the time to dismiss. Love you all. Thank you so much. If there's anything that we can do, let us know. Have a wonderful day.